News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
We've got Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com, also the Washington Examiner. Good stuff in that publication for sure. Quinn, good morning. How are you?
Doing okay. How are you guys?
We're fine.
A couple things really quickly to get to before we get into our conversation with Quinn. If you follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Leanna doing a fantastic job as always, keeping an eye on traffic. Kane does a great job on the air. You also want to get on our Facebook page. We put pictures up from the Aldot cams, and there is an issue right now on I-10 westbound right near the 1065 split. Apparently a box truck on its side. We are seeing right now that the left lane is open, so that's westbound on 10. You'll want to make your way left because that's the lane of travel right now. And then something I want to get a comment on from Quinn and Dan here. There were a couple notable deaths yesterday, one of those being Olivia Newton-John, and Bill texted in, trivia question. In the movie Jaws, what song was playing on the transistor radio at the beach just before the shark attacks the young boy? The song "I Honestly Love You" by Olivia Newton-John. Bill says she will be missed by many of us. So those are a couple notable names, Olivia Newton-John and the author David McCullough, both passing away yesterday.
Yeah, Quinn, we've got a bunch of stuff to get in here, to Mar-a-Lago, to redistricting. And
IRS.
But Olivia Newton-John, yes, she became more famous with Travolta in Greece, but do you realize, Quinn, years earlier she won her, maybe she had two Grammys, but she won a Grammy well before all of that.
Oh, she was an absolute hit machine through, about 6 or 7 years in the 70s at least before Greece, and she was, you know, even 8 or 9 years before that, starting when she was 14 years old, she was performing. But, I mean, Please, Mr. Please, Have You Never Been Mellow, I Honestly Love You. I'm just a whole list of songs that were absolute top hits. She was really one of the first people who was a crossover success from country into pop. And she, you know, she was just her face, one of the most gorgeous singers around.
I was going to get around to that.
And then she, you know, she ended up doing a lot of good for cancer research and stuff like that. But people forget just what a big thing she was in the 70s and early 80s, and how good, actually, even though they're sort of sickly sweet, but how good, how well produced and how well sung a lot of those early songs were. And of course, for people, for guys my age, if you love the sweet, pretty, demure girl, then she was everything for you up until, like, Greece. And then if you really got into the, you know, let's get physical stuff, she, you know, she was everything for people in the late 70s and early 80s once she did her transition. She was a big deal. And she kept her grace and good humor, you know, well up until the end. Every interview she did, she said good things. She raised money for cancer. Anyway, it's a loss.
Yeah, and the two things that jump out at me were she was a beautiful lady. And also, she never had the air of celebrity. You know, you would see her on a show, and she's on the couch talking to Johnny or whatever, you know. But there was nothing about her that screamed, look at me, or I'm a celebrity, I'm entitled. I don't know, she just somehow blended in with
it lightly, and, yeah. You know, and mostly with grace. I mean, you know, some of us didn't like her. I mean, she was very commercial, and you know, so when the winds blew to the bad girl image, she did the bad girl thing, and, you know, some of us might not have liked that, but she was very personable and did everything with grace, and, you know, and again, she was really good.
Yeah.
She was a heck of a singer. Yeah. Right, there you go.
Yeah, it's amazing to handle all that fame with grace, and she did from the very start. Yeah,
and they say it happens in threes. You know, David McCullough was yesterday. You also had Vin Scully last week.
Vin Scully, what a loss. The greatest sports announcer ever. Not just baseball, golf, football, you name it. He was fantastic.
Some great tributes to him out there. Let's get into some of the biggest news from this week. I guess the last couple weeks. It became official this weekend that the Senate passed the Manchin-Schumer bill, basically the Build Back Better Act, now renamed as the Inflation Reduction Act. And I don't know if the CBO has put out their full report, but they have indicated that this will have a marginal to negative impact on inflation. Quinn, what were your thoughts on this bill? They say it's going to inject $750 billion into the economy, and this, you know, economy already dealing with inflation and a recession on the way. What are your thoughts on this bill?
It's a terrible, god-awful bill. It's a disgrace. There's so many bad things in it. First of all, it breaks Biden's pledge to not raise taxes on people making less than $400,000. As a matter of fact, in the next year alone, it raises nearly $17 billion in total taxes on people making less than $200,000. I could go on and on. But the worst element among a whole lot of bad elements is this thing where they beef up IRS enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 87,000 new IRS agents, and almost all of them not to man the help desk to help ordinary taxpayers who can't get through on the phone, but instead for more audits to go after ordinary taxpayers, because all the studies show that nearly seven out of eight of those audits are going to be for people that are not the super wealthy, but are middle class and lower middle class. And if you've ever dealt with the IRS, whether with an audit or with a dispute, it is, even if you've done nothing wrong, the hours, the hassle, the asininity of what they put you through is horrendous. And they have 14 times, this is an actual statistics, 14 times as much money in this bill for enforcement, audits, and harassment than they do for adding to the help desk.
Mm.
And the help desk, mentioning the help desk, they're right now, the last 2 years in a row, if you call the IRS, 10% of your calls are going to get answered. That means 90 or 91% of your calls are not even going to get answered.
Yeah, Quinn, I can speak to that.
If you're a confused taxpayer, no help from the IRS.
I tried to get a hold of the IRS a couple of months ago. It was impossible to try and to find an actual voice I could talk to about a concern that I had.
Exactly.
It was impossible.
So if they wanted to have, you know, not $80 billion over 10 years, but say you take an extra $25 billion over 10 years for the IRS, if you, of that $25 billion, you did $20 billion for the help desk, for helping citizens,
mm-hmm.
and maybe $5 billion for a little bit added enforcement, maybe so. The IRS is clearly a little underfunded because, obviously, they can't do their jobs right now. But instead, they go 14-1 on enforcement over help. And get this. Congress passed something called a Taxpayer Bill of Rights to say that all of these abuses, and I could go on and on about actual, literal IRS abuses, all the abuses by the IRS, there's actually a Bill of Rights saying that they can't do it and saying you should complain if they do it. But guess what? The Bill of Rights, the Taxpayer Bill of Rights of the IRS has no enforcement mechanism. Literally. You keep going down and say, okay, they can't do that, they can't do that. What is your recourse if they do it?
Mm-hmm.
You can report it. What happens if you report it? Okay, well, you've reported it. Because there's no actual enforcement. Even written down, there's nothing that says what they're going to do with it. They just collect the data that you have reported, and you move on, and you're still Upper Creek.
By the way, my story ends with them. I found an address for the IRS here in town.
Did you go?
I went.
Yeah.
It wasn't there.
Oh, that's...
So that's how my story ended. It was so frustrating.
Keep in mind, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that it was proven that the IRS, as political persecution is such a big topic, especially today, that the IRS was targeting the Tea Party and other conservative groups. They came out and apologized. That was not that long ago.
No, it was not.
And I'm surprised reading about how many of these IRS agents, now it's supposed to just be the police force portion of it, but how many are armed and how much ammo they've been buying. The IRS...
I reported that in 2000 and about... Nine or ten. I wrote a column for the Washington Times at the time called "Ninja Bureaucrats on the Loose," and it's about how many. It was the IRS and places like Health and Human Services and Housing and Urban Development. How many of their agents are armed?
Crazy.
Now, why do you need to carry arms when you're bringing an accounting book?
Mm.
It's disgusting, and this bill. Okay, the Declaration of Independence. You know what one of the actual complaints against the king and the parliament are? They have, quote, sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance.
Hmm.
Well, guess what? That's exactly what the Democrats are doing with this bill by adding $80 billion, a 90% increase over 10 years. To the IRS, almost all for enforcement. It's insane.
And that's a relatively small portion of what else is in the bill. And when we get back, Quinn, I want to talk about some of this other stuff, including the minimum tax on corporations and what that will result in as this nation looking...
negotiation.
Yeah, and we're looking down the barrel right now of really tough times economically. So we'll get into that when we get back.
Yep. This portion of the show brought to you by the IRS. The IRS, they suck. 18 minutes after 8 o'clock, but they're armed.
They are.
18 minutes after 8 o'clock with Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. If you want to get in on the conversation after 8:30, feel free, 251-343-0106. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 823. Showers should be developing again today. Doc said we got over an inch at the airport yesterday, right?
Yeah, an inch and a half, he said.
Okay. So look for that sort of activity again today. Quinn Hillier's with QuinnHillier.com, also the Washington Examiner. And Quinn, how about your... You're also an author, and people can find that at Amazon, right?
Yeah, the books are the Mad Jones Trilogy, also known as the Accidental Prophet Trilogy, and you can find them at Amazon.com.
Excellent.
Quinn, I want to get into a couple more things with this Manchin-Schumer bill, which will be in the House's hands, I guess, February, when they get back from their vacation, and they're expected to pass it along. I was wondering if maybe some of the factions of the left there might push back because this doesn't go far enough for them, but we'll see come later this week.
Friday, right?
Yeah, Friday. A couple things here. So the 15% minimum tax on corporations with profits over $1 billion, they say that'll rake in $313 billion. And then you also have this Medicare portion of the bill where Medicare can negotiate drug prices directly with pharmaceutical companies. But now manufacturers of generic drugs are saying that this new legislation could absolutely devastate the generic drug market. A lot of people have a lot of problems with this bill.
Yeah, this whole, look, I've been fighting against this Medicare drug negotiation stuff for 16 years. It will absolutely devastate the generic drug industry, which are the inexpensive drugs that you can end up getting over the counter. So it's going to raise prices for everybody else that's not on Medicare. And as the Wall Street Journal pointed out, the way that this is a complicated sort of semi-hemi-demi attempt to have the government negotiate prices, but the way they do it is going to make it almost impossible for companies to be able to afford to do early clinical trials for experimental drugs for the patients in the most dire straits. So it's going to end up meaning that cancer patients who are, you know, looking looking around for a cure are not going to be able to take experimental drugs. You're going to have dead people on your hands because they don't get the access to the drugs that they're going to want. Not only that, but drug price negotiation doesn't even work. You know what works? The free market. You know how we know that? Because the price of the premiums, the insurance premiums through Medicare Part D for prescription drugs for 16 years has actually been under what the Democrats wanted it to be in 2003 when they created it, and they wanted to set the price and then let it rise by inflation. Guess what? The actual price, because of market forces, has not even kept up with inflation. It's the one part of the economy where it's running under inflation, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They're actually going to end up, by negotiating, meaning setting prices, they're going to actually cause higher drug prices for seniors, eliminate a lot of generic drugs, and eliminate experimental drugs and have people die.
That's great news for a guy my age.
Yeah. And at the same time, Quinn, another part of this is the green energy portion. And as we see countries like Sri Lanka, you know, the Netherlands, absolutely going through it right now as their countries try to do away with carbon emissions. And a lot of that comes from the fertilizer that they're basically shutting out small farmers. And it looks like America, even seeing this happen around the rest of the country, rest of the world, is saying, let's move on through with this, regardless of what near-term devastation.
The Wall Street Journal has a great list of examples of how a lot of this green energy stuff are actually targeted giveaways to wealthy Democratic donors.
Mm.
Nice, huh?
Yeah, real nice. This is unbelievable. You see what's happened in Sri Lanka. For instance, that's just one example. Try to green everything up, and what are they doing?
Just they're mom and pops, the farmers that have just been making a living on the land for years can't keep up anymore, and that's why you're seeing a lot of this uprising.
Call your congressmen and complain. I mean, Jerry Carl's against it, but if you got relatives that have Democratic representatives, have the relatives call them and complain and say, don't vote for this bill.
Well said. Quinn, if folks want to read what you're writing or link up with you on social media, how can they do so?
You can follow me at Quinn Hillier for Twitter, or Google Quinn Hillier and Washington Examiner to see what I write, or just QuinnHillier.com. Subscribe for free.
Thanks a bunch, Quinn. Thanks. We appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Oh, gone. That's Quinn Hillier, and he joins us every Tuesday morning. Our top story this morning on the three big things, the FBI raid of Mar-a-Lago, Donald Trump's residence in Florida. And it was funny watching, I don't know if funny is the correct word, but the messaging changing throughout the night. So it started in all of the headlines as FBI raids Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence. And then at some point the memo made it out there that it wasn't a raid. They were just searching the home. So you've seen the language game played all the way through, and it's almost like from top down, someone says, don't call it that, call it this, and then you see all of the different media organizations fall in line. The first to call it a raid was the former president, who jumped on his email newsletter. I think he jumped on Truth Social as well, letting people know about that, and we can get into that a whole lot more coming up after the break.
Also, we'll check on the text line, which has been very active this morning. And, of course, you can call, too, 251-343-0106. Call Mobile Mornings. Dan and Dalton here to talk with you. 8:30 news time. Any of them armed?
Yeah, they've been buying up the ammo.
There is no way, even though I can't find a home office or a number or somebody to talk to, there's no way they're not going to catch me now. For Daniel Patrick Brennan, taxpayer, kind of, sort of.
It's over.
The jig is up.
Yeah. How many receipts? Have you kept your receipts over the years?
Yeah, I'm really good at that. 836. 251-343-0106, Dan and Dalton. And for the thousands of IRS agents here in town, where the hell were you when I was looking for you?
Mm.
A couple of months ago.
Yeah.
Get sent to a building that's like flooring. So it's like, please,
Well, they'll be much easier to find when they double the force here in the coming months and years.
Exciting news.
A lot of people on I-10 having issues this morning. Kane will keep us updated with traffic throughout the morning, but it all kind of started with that box truck flipping over westbound. The left lane's been open there. Now I'm seeing I-10 East is a parking lot, so we'll get some confirmation on that. And, of course, the main gist of the texts this morning has been all about the raid of Mar-a-Lago last night, which at some point, and maybe it was yesterday, Mar-a-Lago became, people started writing it shorthanded as MAL, including Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. So I guess that's what we're calling it now, the MAL, Mar-a-Lago. Tim texted in and said, I thought it's always been a gentleman's agreement that you didn't try to prosecute a former president after the FBI raid. Do you think this agreement's off? And what does the future hold for Hunter Biden, Barack Obama, and the Clintons? Well, your guess is as good as mine for what the future holds for the Bidens and Clintons. But right now, I mean, you know, Trump, throughout his entire campaign of 2015, you had the lock her up chants regarding Hillary Clinton and the email scandals, whether go back to Benghazi, whatever it may be. And there was no level of scrutiny put on the Clinton deals as there has been for Trump supposedly or reportedly taking quote-unquote classified documents from the White House. That's what this whole search has been based off of, was the National Archives saying that the Trump administration took these documents at some point or another. I have no idea what the immediate future holds, because you had a lot of people on social media last night saying, hey, if we weren't in a quote-unquote civil war already that we are now, when you have one president in charge and going after his main political opponent.
The Biden administration says they knew nothing about it.
They claim they knew nothing about the raid that happened.
When tyranny becomes law, rebellion becomes duty. That is a quote from Maximus, but he was quoting Thomas Jefferson.
Yes.
So Maximus with an impressive quote from history right there.
Dale texts in, I can't believe there's not one soul at the FBI who can't see this as a political attack on Trump. The National Archives, of all the endless number of government entities, can get a judge to give the okay and the FBI to invade a former president's house, take stuff, and as we both know, will prosecute Trump in the Southern District of New York for something as minimal as taking a pair of complimentary White House slippers for its overnight guests, Dale continues, or Trump had some really damaging stuff on the establishment and we'll never know anything about it. While at the same time, there's no invasion of Hunter Biden's house, Bill Clinton's house, with Epstein written in parentheses, Hillary's computer, etc. It's safe to say that if FBI, DOJ, Biden puts Trump in jail as a political prisoner, then this country ain't worth fighting for. Hill is too steep to climb. That's a text from Dale. And what do you think? We'd love to hear from you on the phone lines, 251-343-0106. Do you feel that maybe the FBI could be in the right? I mean, we haven't read the warrant or anything like that. What were they looking for exactly?
Seems too politically convenient, doesn't it? That's what our audience is screaming, just too politically convenient for this to happen like this. And historically, this is a historic raid on a former president, right? A lot of things that are disturbing. I mean, the FBI better be right. And if they're not right, where are we right now? Probably going to get to, you know, the midterms, the stakes are getting higher and higher with the midterms. And so, you know, when Republicans get in charge, they're, you know, the DOJ might want to run for the hills, because they're definitely going to be, there's definitely going to be some immediate, investigations into that.
That's what some of the Republicans are saying, but that's the problem, is there's been a lot of saying over the years and not a whole lot of doing.
Well,
Kevin McCarthy is saying the right stuff, but right now, even within the Republican Party, I don't think there's a whole lot of faith that they're going to go full bore and try to fix, you know, a lot of these three-lettered agencies. I mean, this is the same FBI that played such a huge role in the fake Russian dossier.
Yep. For first 2 years. Quick question, Dalton. If Trump had announced he's not interested in running, does any of this move forward? Would they have the motivation to take him down like this? And again, you know, if there might be something there, I don't know, but it just politically convenient. And if Trump had said to have no plans to run for office. Would this raid be happening?
I'd say probably not, because even with him potentially and likely announcing a run for office, this will embolden, I think, Republicans. You know, one thing the Democrats had going into the midterms after the Roe v. Wade decision mm-hmm. was the momentum, right? And we talk about it often with sports, that once a team gets momentum, pretty much anything can happen at that point. And the Democrats had the momentum last week going into these midterms. And has this incited Republicans enough that they'll get off their can and go do something? Or, like somebody texted in earlier, are people starting to say, hey, this country's too far gone at this point, and my vote won't matter? I saw a poll earlier, 66% of people feel that they're worried that the election can be stolen. So that's people on both sides of the fence. They won't feel that way if their party wins, mm-hmm. but if the other party does, you know, we've seen it on both sides that stolen elections, that everyone feels like the election's been stolen from them each time. One thing I will
the last two for sure.
One thing I will definitely criticize Trump over is his the people that he nominated for certain positions and the people that he gave major voices to from within his administration. He did not do a very good job of that. I mean, you look at Christopher Wray, who he nominated as mm-hmm. the FBI director, and just watching what Wray had to say in front of that congressional was it Congress or was it a Senate group that he was talking to last week, where he was actually saying, I've got to go catch my private plane for my vacation. You guys are keeping me too long. When they were trying to delve in and get to the bottom of a lot of this FBI stuff, Christopher Wray has been a total disaster in that role. And I said it yesterday, for the COVID pandemic, to give Fauci and Birx such prominent roles when all they did was undermine America and the Trump administration, if there's one thing that Trump has not been good at in the last 6 years, that's been selecting some of the people that he's put in some of these really important roles. And now it's coming back to Biden.
Got to remember this, though, Dalton. As far as the pandemic, that was presented to us as this once in a lifetime. We've got no idea what's going to happen with this. There was panic in the streets. Maybe some of that panic was drummed up by medical officials. You know, I'm too close to the whole thing here. You know, history books will tell it better than I will in 2022. So wait on that. But he had to make a call, depend on these people and their recommendations, or we could have a lot of lives lost, right? So I don't think he wanted. I just think as a human being, you don't want to make the wrong call there. And so Ray and the FBI, that's a different matter for sure, mm-hmm. you know. But as far as the pandemic and Trump's reaction to it, I'm not forgiving everything. I'm just saying those circumstances were so historically unique.
Mm.
I've never seen anything like that in my lifetime. And, you know, I just talked about what my age is. I hate the news about the Medicaid and the drug prices that Quinn gave out, because there's I'm only going to be prescribed more pills as I go forward, not less, by my guess.
Yeah, I just think, you know, it kept
walks
going.
Walks can do so much.
He had plenty of time to go to the bullpen.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe at the start with Fauci and Birx, but he could have moved on after a certain amount of time.
Fair point.
When everything was obviously lost. Some of the responses from Politico's from last night, a couple of the biggest names, Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis weighed in on Twitter. He said the raid of Mar-a-Lago is another escalation in the weaponization of federal agencies against the regime's political opponents, while people like Hunter Biden get treated with kid gloves. Now the regime is getting another 87,000 IRS agents to wield against its adversaries, Banana Republic. That was from DeSantis. It'll be interesting to see what his response is, you know, his actual response from his office with policy or whatever he decides to do, because DeSantis is a guy who's been going after these government agencies and doing it legislatively, right? Or from his executive branch there in Florida. And with this potentially being his main adversary, if he does decide to run for 2024, it's worth keeping an eye on DeSantis to see what he does.
Yeah, especially right there. It's all happening in his own state, which probably, you know, alarms the heck out of him.
And then you had Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, who, strong words here. We'll see if he follows through. He said, Attorney General Garland, preserve your documents and clear your calendar. When Republicans take back the House, we'll conduct immediate oversight of the Department of Justice. Follow the facts and leave no stone unturned. That's Kevin McCarthy.
846. You want to talk? Let's talk. 251-343-0106. Up there, man?
Do I?
Well, do you?
I do.
I didn't. I could have gotten it, but I left it up to you.
Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show in the 9 a.m. hour, former U.S. Attorney Jay Town.
Ooh.
It'll be interesting to see what he has to say this raid. Also in the second hour from the Media Research Center, Brian Bradley. Be interested to see what he has to say about this. But it's his second guest in the 10 a.m. hour, who I'm really looking forward to, Congressman Mo Brooks on the Jeff Poor Show. I know that Congressman Brooks, he tweeted something last night after the raid at Mar-a-Lago, and it wasn't outlandish. It wasn't much of a hot take. He was basically just saying, you know, there's been a raid at Mar-a-Lago. This could be bad for Trump. This could be bad for the FBI. I'm not exactly sure what the intent of the message was, but it's no longer on his Twitter page, unless I'm completely missing it. But I am interested to see what Congressman Brooks has to say about this, because, I mean, he's a man who, remember the court summons they came after him with, as that congressman from California, his name, Swalwell, right?
Yep,
he was coming
Swalwell.
After Brooks, so he's kind of dealt in something similar to what's going on with Trump. And then in the 11 o'clock hour from 1819 News, Craig Monger. So looking forward to them on the Jeff Poor Show.
On the text line, Ron in Mobile, a couple of things here. Ron first says, can't wait till Republicans flip the House and Senate. And his second little message to us, I finally downloaded the 106.5 app. It's awesome.
Yeah. Welcome aboard, Ron.
Those words from our listeners that, you know, it's not us telling you, it's you telling us that you love it and that we appreciate that.
I spent a lot of time listening to that app on my trip last week.
Bet you did. You'd
be glad to know that the app works in Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, and Pennsylvania.
It works on the absolutely horrible roads of Alabama.
That's right.
You said that right on 59 was a nightmare.
Hey,
huh?
They're rebuilding, okay? They are rebuilding Alabama as we speak.
Are they rebuilding better?
We'll see. Some more text we have here. Terry says, if you think the president wasn't informed of such a high-profile raid, just keep drinking the Kool-Aid. You know, maybe the Biden administration was aware. I wouldn't put it past the president to not be aware of many things. It's very possible that Biden wasn't aware, but everyone around him was. And that might have even been after they told Biden what they were doing exactly. Right. He still wasn't aware.
I'm that way.
Did you see that video?
I'm like the local version of Biden. You can tell me something at 10:30 in the morning, and by 1:07 in the afternoon,
gone.
It's gone.
So that video of Biden in Kentucky yesterday when he got off Marine One, I think it was, and he could not get his jacket on his left shoulder. He tried and tried. The aviators eventually fell off onto the ground, and then Dr. Joe Biden helping him with his jacket situation.
So he's an old guy, man.
Another texter says, so the White House was not aware, but media was there with cameras rolling. Another texter says, FBI has lost all credibility. They're now laughable. Another texter, unnamed, says, Trump loves this. He can raise lots of money. He likes raising money. I'm not sure that the president,
this is the
former
way.
President, likes the FBI raiding his home.
How about the other? So how quickly did the Trump fans arrive? Or I saw them in all these shots. So if the news broke at X, you know, this time, and by this time, they're like on the scene.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't long.
No.
But, you know, the reports are that the raid began early yesterday morning. No one really heard about it until yesterday evening.
Okay.
I want to say 7:30 the news broke. May have been a little bit earlier than that, but it wasn't long after that that you had Trump supporters out there. And Trump wasn't at Mar-a-Lago.
No.
He's in New York now. And then you also had some anti-Trump people out there who were causing some scenes, but a lot of people out at Mar-a-Lago yesterday.
I was, you know, eating my spaghetti watching YouTube, which sounds like something Biden would be doing.
It may have been exactly what he was doing. Doug says, why don't we claim as many dependents on our wages and then at tax time refuse to pay. And when they come to collect, let's have a tea party. All right, Doug. Paul says, I wonder how great a chance the IRS bill has in the House. I think it has a pretty good chance of passing. And there, it's kind of interesting because there were Democrats not that long ago who opposed certain parts of even the massive Build Back Better bill, which came in a lot heftier price than this current iteration of it. And I was reading this, I think Fox News had it, that a couple congressmen, Democrat congressmen, had a problem with one of the portions of the energy part of the bill, that some tax reductions for the gas companies and emissions or something like that. Anyway, they kept it the same way, but now these same congressmen are saying, oh, we're fine with the bill in its current iteration. So it seems like they're going to stick along party lines and go right through with it.
Manchin got a concession that had to do with energy, I know, that's when he signed on a couple of weeks back.
And it's obviously such a big deal for West Virginia and their economy. I did want to read this one thing regarding the FBI raid. Fox News spoke with Michael Tabman. He's the former head of the Minneapolis FBI field office. And he was talking about how unprecedented this was. He said, we just haven't investigated presidents after they've served their term. But it's a huge move by the FBI in that the political sensitivities are clear. It's obvious that they're dealing on a very sort of tenuous political climate when you go out and investigate a president, especially one who says he may run for office again. Tabman continued saying, you have to certainly, as most people know, produce probable cause to first get prosecutors who want to write this and present it to a judge, and then present it to a judge who has to agree that you've shown probable cause that a crime's been committed. He says there's evidence of the crime in the location that you state and at the time you plan to execute the warrant. So there's a lot of information that you have to be very convinced of for a federal judge, and they scrutinize these. So basically, he's saying this doesn't happen very often, and that the FBI better have some sort of Loctite case if they're doing this. But what we've seen from the FBI, especially over the last 6 years, is they don't wait for cases to be locked tight before they move.
Yeah, so the FBI needs to have a Loctite case. On the other hand, Trump leaving office, wouldn't he be hyper aware that he needs to have all his stuff in order?
Yeah.
I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying that isn't it kind of I don't know. With Trump, you could throw out the rule book because he's not great at following rules, but you would think that he had everything tightened down where something like this couldn't happen.
You would think so. Can't wait to hear what Jeff Poor has to say about that. And we'll be back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.